Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this episode of That Solo Life, the podcast about working for yourself, working independently. We focus on the PR and marketing world. My name is Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and my fantastic, as always, co-host is Karen Swim of Words for Hire and the head honcho at Solo PR Pro, which is the gathering place for all of us solos on That Solo Life. And Karen, you're traveling this week, right?
I am traveling. Good morning. Which for all of my colleagues out there, whether you are solo or working in traditional employment, you know that that just adds an extra level of madness to a week as you try to wrap up things that you don't think that you're going to be able to do. And those few hours on a plane can seem like a lifetime away from the world, which we should actually relish and enjoy, but it freaks us out that something is going to go wrong and we won't be able to jump in and manage it. So yeah, crazy. Right.
Yeah. Which kind of brings us to our theme. We were talking off air about how, you know, it just feels like life. I mean, we know life is fast. We know technology is fabulous and it's not really the cause of us flying too fast. But, you know, like I've said lately, I feel like my life is flying faster than my brain, you know, is keeping up with. I mean, not that anything horrible's happened. I mean, everything's fine. I think it's probably mostly, well, I don't say mostly a head game. I think part of it is how we perceive things, but I think it's also partly, goodness, this could speak to the whole managing expectations. And sometimes it really starts with us.
You know? I would agree. I mean, life is fast. Let's just admit that. And it's fast because everyone is going at a pace, right? And so that's the world that we live in. That's the culture that we live in. But we can find ways to slow that down. And, you know, it's funny, I was, I've had so many conversations lately because I'm sort of in, I slow down my own pace. And it's interesting to me because I was having issues. I was struggling. I was struggling with my energy levels. I was feeling anxious, depressed. And I'm like, I can't live like this. I refuse. I was stressed. And so I had to make changes for my own health and sanity. And making those changes does take a decision every single day.
Right.
But I have noticed that since I have just really become, you know, like I've slowed the pace way down and I just have so many moments where I am, you know, I've built in like a lot more quiet time. I've built in more time away from doing to really thinking or just being. I'm noticing even more how everybody else around me is just super stressed out. And I was talking to another colleague this week who, just was saying how she and her family were discussing how they feel like life is getting away from them. And she's solo as well. And they were like, we don't know what to do. How do we slow this down?
I think it, like you said, it takes a conscious decision to perhaps hit the pause button and just sit down and evaluate. I mean, I have even thought this week of, I need to sit down and literally do a list on paper, you know, pull out a spiral bound notebook. And because, you know, I'm 10 years into this way of life and this way of working, which freaks me out on a totally different level of what really. But, you know, things are different from when I started. When you start out, and it's not to say there aren't peaks and valleys, there are. But it's a different kind of managing, you know, it's a different kind of course, you're always on the eye, keeping your eyes open for new business, maintaining your current clients, but you know that life can change in an instant. So you always have to be at the ready as a solo business owner. But it just feels a little different in that I have to stop myself and say, you know what, Michelle, it's been 10 years. What is still working for you and what isn't? And my goodness, I know I need to get a little more margin in my life. Sometimes I just miss, I'm like, I miss looking up and staring at the sky. And I know I do it to myself.
Yeah. Well, you know what's changed in 10 years is that we have a lot more inputs, right? So I've been doing this for, 15 years now? And what's changed is that early on we had email and then we had social media, but it was more of a choice. And now, on any given day, you know, you have Slack messages, you have GroupMe messages, you have text messages, you have the phone, you have email, you have Messenger. So you have lots of things coming at you from a lot of different directions. So now when you add all of this communication into the mix, we're not imagining that things have become more complex. They truly have. And this is not even about keeping up a presence with social media or any of that. It's about the communications that we receive from multiple channels throughout the day. Right. And so we still have all of these things to do. And I think that when you have, you know, people, it's almost like having people poke you all day long, like poke, 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 poke. I think it creates this anxiety to not only get things done, but to get them all done at once. Like it puts you in this urgency mode. And so,
which is not productive.
It's not productive. It's not. And it just creates unnecessary stress. So I have, you know, what turned around me and my anxiety was.
There they are. They're parking.
I know. I became a student of not doing that, you know? And so I began to devour everything about productivity, wellness, digital balance, and still do, you know, I just began to read and take advice and put things into practice. And so a couple of key things that helped was I went back to, this was a suggestion from Michael Smart. He wrote an article, and Michael Smart is a PR pro who also coaches other PR pros, and he puts out fantastic content. And so Michael Smart was sharing how he starts every day by journaling, writing everything. We call this monkey mind. So the way that I call monkey mind is in the morning is in addition to meditation and prayer, I journal and I write down every single thought that's running through my head. And so sometimes it looks like a crazy mess when I'm journaling, but at the end of that, then I can step back and say, okay, well, what do I really need to focus on today? Because there are things that I want to get done. There are things that actually need to get done. And you know what? There's things that would be nice to get done, but it doesn't have to happen that day. So when I clear sort of that clutter out, because, you know, you have all of these things
did you crawl into my mind?
Yeah. And you spit it out on paper and then you take a step back and you're like, okay, so now that I've cleared that out, I can actually see what's really important. And then I monotask. I don't try to do three things at once anymore. First of all, that doesn't work. I'm sorry, you multitasking people. It is a rare rarity, according to science. There are only a very small percentage of the population that actually can multitask. So that means for the majority of us, it's not something that you do effectively.
No, and it's not good for your brain.
It's not good for your brain.
That's how your brain was designed to work. And it's funny, I was the queen of multitasking, you know, 15, 20 years ago.
Yes.
You know, back when that was a badge of honor. And I'm like, yeah, I can rock it. Yeah. And then you realize, why? Why am I doing this for the praise of it? You know, you're a great multitasker. Great, thank you.
And you know what happens when you focus on one single thing at a time? You get it done faster and better because you're devoting your attention. So you're clearing away the distractions, you're focusing on one thing, and you're you're getting it done and you're getting it done well. And so I've learned to, you know, I've learned to use my out of office more than I ever have. I just turn it on, like, you know, cause it, you don't have to be out of the office. You can be unavailable for half a day or for a couple of hours. You know, you can use it to let people know that you're in meetings and you'll get back to them. And if it's urgent, how to reach you, it's surprisingly effective. And turn off alerts, build time into your day to focus, turn off, you know, I have do not disturb periods. And like in the evening, I have set times where my phone is set to no longer ring. I have my business phone set to office hour. So it does not ring through. It goes straight to voicemail at a certain point in the day, because I have limited resources and so do you. And if we all don't take responsibility for caring for our greatest asset, then you and your business will die. And I hate to break it to you all, but no matter how nice your clients are, no matter how great your relationships are with them, if you drop dead or you're out of commission, they are going to send condolences, maybe send flowers, say they're sorry, hope you feel better, and keep it moving. And that just, it should be an eye-opener that people expect you to take care of yourself. But we also are responsible for doing our best work, right? And we can't do it with this crazy,
frazzled.
Just it's just insane. And I swear, I honestly do feel like a rebel when I am like, huh, I feel like going to the park because I just want to be out in nature with my dog and I want to look up at the sky and I want to see the color in the trees. And I really don't care that people are sending me emails. It's life will keep turning. And you know what? I can get back to them in 2 hours. It's going to be okay.
Good. Because you know what? They're not sitting there at their email watching it. I hope she responds.
No, they're not.
Did she respond now? Did she respond now? And I think that's the thing. I think part of what possibly energizes us and keeps us motivated is that, okay, I've got to get this done for them before, you know, I want to get it done before they ask where it is or blah, 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 blah. And you know, I know for myself, I have to curb that sort of negative motivation. And I've done a fairly good job of it, flipping that around. You know, you want to be responsible and meet your deadlines. You certainly don't want to miss them, but at the same time, don't let that kind of fear-based motivation rule you. That's not healthy either. It's just sit down, take a breath, and like you said, focus on one thing. And I've found even, you know, you can get great little online gadgets to help you. You know, if you have, use Chrome, there's the Pomodoro timers to help you just say, okay, for 25 minutes, I'm going to write this bio and see where I get. And, you know, just one thing. Or, you know, sometimes I might hum... Is it the Abominable Snowman in the old just put one foot in front of the other song? Yeah. And soon you'll be walking out the door. Anyway.
I love that. That's hilarious. I love that. And I, you know, I love, here's a plug for a former client, great company. I love Rescue Time because it shows you like how you're using your digital time and it connects to your Google Calendar. There's a Google Calendar integration and you get a report every week. And so I can actually, you know, it and you can set, you know, productivity goals. And so that you focus on the stuff that you really want to focus on. And, you know, honestly, working with them, over a long period of time really enlightened me to communication overload and distractions. They put out some great content, by the way. And so if you visit their blog, there's so many great tips and so much great information about the modern workforce. But you're right. I mean, we have to take control of this. And I love what you said about the negative motivation, because PR people in general, I honestly feel like we are one of the hardest, most caring group of professionals. And I know that there are others, but I just find that when I meet other PR people, whether they're solo or, you know, working for, you know, agencies or companies, we really care. And we really care about leaving it all on the floor. We give everything to our work and it matters to us. And we're so committed and so passionate and so demanding of ourselves. And so I think that we, in particular, as professional communicators, really sometimes need, you know, inspiration to set those boundaries and to take a step back, you know. So I've learned, you know, even when a client, you know, and I are talking about, you know, deliverables, to say, okay, so I can get that to you next week. Is that, right, is that an issue? I set the timeline that I know that's going to work, instead of saying, okay, you'll have it by the end of the day. Okay, tomorrow. Because
Because you're setting yourself up.
You're setting yourself up
for failure because you can't. We're not machines. And, you know, I love the beauty of the freedom of, you know, last week a client had a major event. And sure, I worked, you know, worked some beyond the norm. And that's okay, because that's what it required. And they just passed along some phenomenal feedback from the attendees, which, you know, made it so worth it. But at the same time, I adore keeping regular business hours. It just helps me work more, I don't know, properly. I hate to say that word, but, you know, of course, yeah, like you, if you want to pop out for a walk, yeah, of course, we have the freedom to do that. But it helps me set mental boundaries of, no, this is work time. Okay. You know, sometimes I might work till 7 or 8, depends on what requirement is or where I might have to be the next day or whatever. But at the same time, you know, it kind of helps me and also manage the expectations, you know, of the clients of, yes, this is when you can count on me for the most part being available to you.
Yes.
And it helps train them away from the other direction, you know, thankfully.
Yes. And I, you know, I, in addition to the kickoff meeting with clients, I have an onboarding document, and it includes communication kind of guidelines, like, you know, here are our team's work hours. Here is how you reach us. Here's how often you can expect to meet with us. You know, we talk about that. Right. How often are we going to meet? And, you know, if other things come up, what's the preferred method of communication? Rather than saying, oh, just, you know, communicate with me everywhere we ask, because, you know, if it's Slack, that's cool. So then we know that, you know, we'll use Slack for this and maybe we'll use email for, you know, other things, but it kind of helps to really just begin to scope that out at the beginning and document it, give it to the client, so that now you've established sort of the rules of the road. And clients are human beings. No one is going to, you know, berate you for not wanting to work 15 hours a day every day. And honestly, if they do, then you have to consider if that's a client that you want to work for. I do know clients like that. Right. And I do know clients that have a fire hose culture. They're not my clients, because that's not how I do my best work, but there may be others who really thrive in that environment. I personally don't. And so I think that that's really important too. And I think that even when you're employed, you know, figure out what allows you to thrive, and don't be afraid to, you know, put time on your calendar. Like, I have found that there are days that I, you know, just block out an hour to do nothing but think. I just think. Yes. I mean, really, I just, it's quiet and I think, and I'll jot down notes and ideas, because if we don't allow room to, you know, create, to invent, to innovate, to think about our businesses, what, you know, what tasks can we improve? Are there skills that I need to work on? If you're never giving yourself a moment to breathe and to think, then you're just doing and you're just always in reaction mode.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. I was talking with a colleague. He always brings this up. You know, there's productivity and busyness are two separate animals. You know, it's like, oh, great, you're busy, but are you accomplishing what you need to accomplish? And it's another colleague actually said this just in passing, and it's just stuck in my head. you know, not that I don't respect myself, but he's like, yeah, you know, you got to respect yourself. Who else is going to? And I thought, you know what? That speaks to how I spend my time.
Yeah.
You know, and all sorts of things. It speaks to the self-care of it all. And, you know, what makes me so special that I think I can, you know, just keep on keeping on. And then, like you say, you're not as sharp as you might want to be. So it's been I've been really intentional about that of late. And, you know, really, I don't know if anyone else out there is having this, but, you know, you just have to make that mental shift for different phases of your business of, you know, you're not in startup mode anymore. So start to act a little differently and that it's okay. Now you're in this mode.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, a good way to sort of check if you're not sure, if you're out of balance, is to think about what your family is saying about you and your friends. So do people say, oh, you're always so busy? So I know society wears that busyness badge like a badge of honor. To me, it's not.
I'm over it.
If that's how I'm viewed as, oh, you're always so busy, that's a negative. And that means that I need to fix something, because if I don't want to be seen as busy. I want to be seen as effective. I want to be seen as successful. I want to be seen as somebody who cares about quality, but not busy. I don't want to be that person. Right. And honestly, I found that a lot of people are like, oh, you're always working. No, I'm not. That's not, you know, is that what I want on my tombstone when I die? She was always working. That's pretty boring.
Right. Or, you know, although sometimes that checks me, I'm thinking, well, maybe that's only when you see me, but there are plenty of times where I'm not.
So if those people have like a small window into your life and that's all they see, but it's a good measure to sort of reflect and say,
it is a good measure.
Huh. Is that true?
Yeah.
Because if it's true, it will bother you. I promise you.
This may be 5 years ago. It dawned on me, you know, at my umpteenth, you know, little card exchange, you know, that happens at 5 o'clock, and, you know, you're there and you realize, oh my gosh, is this my only social life?
Yeah.
I mean, just because I'm standing here with a glass of wine does not make it a social fun event. Oh my goodness, I'm so sad. But it's true. It's I forget the article, but I saw it in passing of, you know, it probably speaks to parts of this of, you know, this is why you don't see your friends anymore. Because we're all, not all of us, but so many of us are, you know, carrying out our days this way and not realizing that we have a lot more power than we realize, you know. I think we just need to sit down and figure that out. And, you know, for me, hey, I know I can become a creature of habit, or you get in a routine. So, you know, well, this is this routine right now. And guess what? You were in a different routine before that might have been a little better for you or whatever. And, you know, granted, like life circumstances might have required a change, but that's not forever. So, you know, maybe it's a case of taking even 10 minutes and just thinking, gosh, you know what? This routine I'm in, is it the best thing for me? Do I have the ability to change it? You know, do my circumstances dictate that, okay, yeah, I could do this first thing in the morning instead of that and still get the job done? And much like you said about, you know, being seen as always busy, it wanting to not wear that badge of busy does not mean that we still don't leave it all on the field when we work for our clients. I mean, I have always given 120%, but that then requires even more so that when I'm not working, I am so not working.
Agreed.
Because that's the way I knew. Did you notice I said that past tense? I knew I would be.
I was sharing with my colleague, Shanna, her husband, were talking about, you know, how they just, they feel like life is, they can't catch up with it. And those out, you know, in our audience who may have children, this will really resonate with you. If you feel like, you know, you're just missing it, that you're, that everybody, even your kids, are so busy. Then, you know, one of the things that, that I mentioned, and I, you'll hear me say this often, is that God bless the millennials, because I feel like millennials, that generation, ushered us into reflecting about making it about a full life and a whole life. You know, they live and they're not so tied to things as opposed to experiences. And hey, you know, every generation, every human being, we have our good parts and our bad parts. And, you know, I'm not saying that they've gotten everything right, but I love that they are passionate about everything. You know, everything is with such gusto, you know, they, whether it's work or life, but they're not willing to just accept that life is about working 12 hours a day and just being so busy that you miss everything else. And I love that. I love that, you know, being surrounded by different generations who help me to sort of check myself and to say, maybe there's something to be taken from that. You know, over the years, I've become a lot more minimalist. And so I, you know, I relate to the millennials in a lot of ways and share a lot of the same values. I don't want my life to be about work. I mean, that's just, it's just, you know, yesterday, you know, we mentioned I'm traveling, which, you know, makes, I don't know about any of you, but it makes me crazy because there's just so many details to take care of on the home front and on the work front. And, you know, in the middle of like, you know, just trying to check things off the list, my little niece video calls me on Messenger Kids. And I just stopped everything immediately. And it didn't matter that she just wanted to giggle about her cousin or, you know, just show me the floor and look at the dog. And in the big scheme of things, was it, you know, world changing? No, but it was world changing to me because I love her. And in that moment, for me, that's all that mattered. And so I just stopped everything to have this video call with my niece for half an hour. And it's not like she's even out of town, but... You know, I thought,
perfect though. You needed that. Now, that was your pick me up break.
Totally,
that
was your time.
Now I have to say my break is not, I'm not sure if you're hearing the lawn mower man circling my home. So forgive me, I've been trying to mute sporadically. But yeah, I mean it's those moments, and I think, you know, the whole millennial mindset of carving out the life you desire. You know, I'm on board too. I mean,
speaking of life,
I'm a cranky Gen X. Yeah, there we go. Hey, Belle. Yeah, I'm as cranky of a Gen Xer as anyone else. But you do get to that point where, even when as friends, when you know you try to gift each other, it's like, look, if I can't attend it, eat it, or wear it, I don't want it. Another
question. I love it.
Now let's just go do something together, because we know time is so precious. You know, as you grow up and you have families or you have familial obligations and you're taking care of this, you're taking care of that, just going out to dinner sometimes is gift enough.
I haven't done that in forever, but I'm going to do it this weekend. Well, you know, it's funny because when you were saying, you know, how we really don't see people anymore, it just sometimes I feel like our whole, in America, let's get this straight, in America, it feels like our whole culture is just like a bunch of cranky old people. I feel like we just, you know, it's just like we're all so cranky and stressed, and it's why we retreat to like, I'm a liberal, I'm a conservative, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I hate you. It just seems like everybody's so angry and cranky. Like, and
I thought that was here in the Northeast.
I think it's everywhere. And I truly believe it's part of that is because, well, all we do is work and read horrible news stories and sit on Twitter and like rant at each other. So it's so easy to become divided and retreat to our corners. And that's,
it's funny you mentioned that because the, you know, I haven't, sadly, I have not traveled abroad recently, but the few times I have, I mean, I remember being in London and standing, you know, on the tube platform and just observing, like, okay, this is a successful city. People get it done every bit as much as we do back home. But I didn't feel that intensity of the people. And similarly, I was in Vancouver, Canada, and it cracked me up. They actually stop for the stoplights, the pedestrian stoplights. They actually stop even if there's no traffic coming the other way.
That's
my Canadian friend was like, no, we stop. And I said, my gosh, I said, I'm taking a nap here. We can go. There's no
That's hilarious. Whereas in the United States, people will, if the speed limit is 45 and you are going 43, people will lean on their horns like you have murdered someone. Like, what's wrong with you?
Well, or at least my blood pressure will rise a little bit. Yes. Yes. And I thought, I'm like, no. Back home, I would just see like, oh yeah, I can make it before that car comes through the
green. Yeah. Yeah.
Although I will say San Diegans, they have an even keel that was highly disturbing to me. I couldn't figure it out, except I finally learned they don't have an edge, but if I can't see your edge, I don't know. That just makes me when I used to travel more for work, I would try to at least do the hop on, hop off for a few hours just to feel like I was in the city where we were having. And the gentleman running the tickets there, he was from Chicago, which cracked me up when he said, well, where are you from? I said, oh, you know, I'm in the Philly burbs. He goes, ah, Philly people. Right away, I'm like, what? Because it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I'm like, really, Chicago? But then I said, I'm like, dude, what is up with these people? They're all so even. They're also like unironically pleasant. I can't tell
you
their edges.
So funny. Because, you know, I'm from Southern California. And funny enough, San Diego is where I'm headed. And
let me know if it's changed. I mean, it was funny. It was
when you
genuine.
Live there, you don't think that you just don't think really about it. But when you are from there and you go somewhere else and people are not chatting each other up in line and not like saying hello, you feel like, what's wrong with these people?
I didn't feel that as much in LA, but San Diego, I thought, ooh, there's a disturbance in the force.
Yeah.
Well, my force, not saying my force is right. Yeah. Not by a long shot, but it just cracked me up. I'm like, yeah, what's going on here? They're not going to all kill me in my sleep, are they?
Because
they're all
far too nice. I don't trust them. It's a sunshine, and it's, you know, hey, it's why?
Right now, Visit Philly is saying, shut her up now. We are a lovely town. In fact, I once was a tourist for a day riding the little Flash, spelled with a PH, trolley, and just chatting up the tourists saying, you're having a nice time. Everyone treating you well, with that edge of everyone better be treating you well. Cause if they don't.
That's so hilarious. Well, so we're nearing the end of our time. And so we'll say,
we are.
Yeah, don't be cranky and angry.
No, it's just how we talk at that old shirt. I'm not angry. I'm from Philly.
Yeah.
It's just,
don't be cranky and angry. And, you know, really? Build some life and some, lovable. Or build some living into your life. It just, you know, don't, busyness is not your aim. You don't want to be busy. You want to be effective. And there is, as your client said, there's a really big difference in that. And, you know, try the monotasking because your brain will thank you and your productivity will soar. I promise you. And, you know, if you need reinforcements, Michelle and I are out there. So you can find us. You can find us on social media. We're everywhere. So hit us up and say, oh my God, I'm struggling with this. And we'd be happy to, you know, share additional resources. We'd love it if you all, you know, chat it with us on Twitter and had some conversations around this. Just, you know, tag us and tag That Solo Life or hashtag Solo PR. And we'd love to chat with you, audience. And
Yeah, that would be great. And you know what? Take 15 minutes for yourself today. Trust me, I'm speaking from experience. It's like, can I? Yes.
It will be okay.
Yeah. So until next time, we'll all be okay. And I wish you safe travels. And until next time, thanks for listening to another episode of That Solo Life.